ओम शांति। अ वेरी गुड मॉर्निंग। कुछ दिनों पहले हम आए थे और कॉन्फ्रेंस के एक के बाद एक के बाद एक के बाद सेशन हुए 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 और अब वो घड़ी यहाँ पहुंची है जब हम कॉन्फ्रेंस के अंतिम पढ़ाव की ओर बढ़ रहे हैं। और उसमें हमें आज बहुत सुंदर अंडरस्टैंडिंग देने के लिए, कॉन्शियसनेस पर हमें इनलाइटन करने के लिए हमारे बीच में है रेस्पेक्टेड ब्रदर बीके गिरीश जी। भाई जी आपका बहुत बहुत स्वागत है। बहनों से भी निवेदन है कि भाई जी का बुके और प्लांट से वेलकम करेंगे। गिरीश भाई लगभग 40 वर्षों से भी अधिक समय से राज्यों का अभ्यास कर रहे हैं, इस आध्यात्मिक ज्ञान को अपने जीवन में धारण करके आगे बढ़ रहे हैं। जोरदार तालियां बजा सकते हैं हम सभी। और भाई जी ब्रह्मा कुमारी इसकी बहुत सारी डिफरेंट डिफरेंट स्पिरिचुअल सर्विस एक्टिविटीज में एक्टिवली इन्वॉल्व रहे हैं। और एक बहुत सुंदर मूवी है जो आपको यूट्यूब पर मिलेगी, इटर्नल ट्रुथ, हु एम आई। आप ही ने उसकी स्क्रिप्ट लिखी है, उसका कॉन्सेप्ट लिखा है। और एक और मूवी है इटर्नल ट्रुथ, गॉड एंड अ मेडिटेशन एक्सपीरियंस। ये दोनों वीडियोस यूट्यूब पर अवेलेबल हैं, आप इन्हें देख सकते हैं। इनको देखने से हम आत्मा, परमात्मा और योग के गहन रहस्यों को और डीपली समझ पाएंगे। भाई जी ने एक बहुत सुंदर जो वर्क किया है कॉन्शियसनेस पर, उसका एक रिसर्च पेपर अंडरस्टैंडिंग कॉन्शियसनेस, वो भी गूगल पर फ्री डाउनलोड के लिए अवेलेबल है। आप उसको डाउनलोड करके स्टडी कर सकते हैं। आज उसी का ही कुछ पार्ट भाई जी हम सबके साथ में शेयर करेंगे। और अगर हम भाई जी के प्रोफेशनल बैकग्राउंड की बात करें तो आपने अपनी इलेक्ट्रॉनिक्स एंड कम्युनिकेशन में इंजीनियरिंग मैसूर यूनिवर्सिटी से की और उसके बाद में आपने कई आईटी कंपनीज के आरएनडी सेक्शन में वर्क किया। उनमें से एलएनटी है, ब्रॉडकॉम है, पेनेसिया मेडिकल टेक्नोलॉजीज हैं और आपने बहुत सारे, आपके नाम पर बहुत सारे रिसर्च पेटेंट्स भी हैं। तो ऐसी पर्सनालिटी जिसका प्रोफेशनल, स्पिरिचुअल एंड पर्सनल बैकग्राउंड इतना स्ट्रांग है, वो आज हमें पॉजिटिव कॉन्शियसनेस पर एनलाइटन करने के लिए उपस्थित हैं। तो हम भाई जी का स्वागत करते हैं। ओवर टू यू भाई जी। क्लास भाई जी शुरू करें उससे पहले एक अनाउंसमेंट है। आज आप में से जो भी भाई बहने आज जाने वाले हैं, आज 1:30 पर ट्रांसपोर्ट आपने देखा है जब हम डाइनिंग में जाते हैं, वहां से बस जाएगी शांतिवन के लिए। आपकी ट्रेन आज रात तक किसी भी समय की हो लेकिन आप उस बस के द्वारा जा सकते हैं। और ऐसे ही जो कल जाने वाले हैं उनके लिए कल मॉर्निंग में 10:30 पर 10:30 बजे शांतिवन के लिए बस जाएगी, तो आप उस बस में भी जा सकते हैं। थैंक यू।
ओम शांति। वेरी गुड मॉर्निंग। कॉन्शियसनेस, I think this should be the topic of interest for many people. How many of you are interested in this topic, consciousness? I'm sure many, you would have heard a lot of things about consciousness, would have explored YouTube, would have explored many books. Consciousness is one of the most highly researched and explored topics in the world. Basically, consciousness relates with cognition, cognitive abilities of a person. The basic fundamental questions like why the way we behave, the way we are behaving, why we live the way we are living, why the way we, come in contact with and then, exhibit or express ourselves the way we do. And then who is the source? What is the meaning behind this? These are the ones which we will be checking in, exploring in consciousness. Before that, we will have one thing explored here. We will try to understand one thing, and that is the difference between living and the non-living. I have got all these non-living things, this mic, this remote, laptop, etc. You all agree that they are all non-living. And then why they are non-living? Because they can't think. They don't have consciousness. They don't have the consciousness actually. उनको कोई थॉट्स नहीं या कॉन्शियसनेस नहीं रहता, इसलिए हम उनको नॉन लिविंग तक कहते हैं। तो अगर हम वो क्यों नॉन लिविंग है थोड़ा अभी सोचेंगे. इफ वी ब्रेक दिस आइटम्स इनटू पीसेस यू विल गेट एटम्स एंड मॉलिक्यूल्स. सो दीज आर नॉन लिविंग बिकॉज एटम्स एंड मॉलिक्यूल्स विच मेक देम आर नॉन लिविंग. सो यू नो वी विल थिंक ओवर दिस वेरी क्लियरली नाउ बिकॉज दिस बिकम्स द फंडामेंटल. सो ऑन द लेफ्ट साइड वी सी लॉट ऑफ ऑन द स्क्रीन we see lot of you know like non living things including this mic, chair, table, our cloth, anything except we human beings whatever we come. And then if we break them into pieces we will get only atoms and molecules, which means that these are non living because atoms and molecules are non living. And because atoms and molecules are non living, these things are non living. Very simple logic. Now if you see ये जो सेम एटम्स एंड मॉलिक्यूल्स है ना वही ह्यूमन सेल्स को भी बना देता है. द सेम एटम्स एंड मॉलिक्यूल्स विल मेक अप ह्यूमन सेल्स ऑल्सो. ओके सो व्हाट इट मीन्स इज ह्यूमन सेल्स आर नॉट लिविंग एक्चुअली. अवर बॉडी द बॉडीली ऑर्गन्स द सेल्स विच मेक अप दिस बॉडी दे आर नॉट लिविंग बीइंग्स दे आर नॉन लिविंग थिंग्स बिकॉज दे आर मेड ऑफ एटम्स एंड मॉलिक्यूल्स. इन बायोलॉजी इन अवर क्लास we were taught that the body is made of cells and tissues, but from physics we know that even these cells and tissues are made of atoms and molecules. So atoms and molecules are non living things. So let us be very clear, these cells and tissues which we call as living and non living tissues, it's actually a misnomer. We can say at best functional or non functional elements, like functional cells or non functional cells. But actually they are made of atoms and molecules which are non-living. Hence, like if we look in the world, all the things or materials that we see, including the cells and tissues of the, or the organs of the body, they are all made of atoms and molecules. So they are all non-living. We can say this body, the whole body, is non-living. Will you all agree with this? Just think over. Like there may be some questions, but we can discuss it later. But because the same atoms and molecules which make up all the other particles are making up even this body, hence the body is non-living. Then who is living? That's the question we will address. So consciousness is not an aspect of insentient. You can look at the slide there. So like there are basic materials called electrons, protons, atoms and molecules. And then physical energies like heat and electricity. These things make up the materials as well as cells and tissues of either plants or animals or human beings. So, and then the same atoms and molecules, the basic fundamental particles, they make up into earth, water, air, fire or ether. So, now you see, now you observe your own body. Just think for a moment, your body is not just made of cells and tissues, but it is fundamentally made of atoms and molecules. Just think for a moment. And the entire cosmos, all the elements that we see in this world, is again made of atoms and molecules. Now we will come to the brain. The brain has got what are called as neurons. Neurons will communicate information from one end to another end. When we say communication, what the communication means is jumping of electrons from one neuron to another. I will be getting a bit faster here because we have to complete a lot of materials. That's the reason. Any questions, we will take it up offline, or there is an email at the end which we can keep communicating. So then, you know, like the atoms and molecules will jump from one neuron to another. That's how the communication is formed. Now we already know that these neurons are made of again atoms and molecules. Atoms and molecules are again non-living things. So which means that even the brain, which contains billions of neurons, are again made of atoms and molecules which are non-living. So which means that there should be something living which is driving even the brain. So neuroscientists believe that thoughts are purely an effect of firing neurons. Somehow consciousness is created by brain activity. Brain activity is leading to the consciousness, and then that the mind is a product of brain. But we have to understand one thing, that it is based on interpretations of observations, but it is not proven. Thought has always been a direct experience. Jo bhi hamare andar thoughts chalta hai, wo hamara direct experience hai. और वो कोई मिशन थॉट्स को चला नहीं सकते, या थॉट्स आर नॉट डिटेक्टेड बाय द मिशन. देयर इज नथिंग कॉल्ड अ थॉट मीटर, लाइक यू नो वी से वोल्ट मीटर और एम मीटर. देयर इज नथिंग लाइक अ थॉट मीटर, एंड थॉट हैज नॉट बीन मेजर्ड बाय एनी इंस्ट्रूमेंट और इट इज नॉट फाउंड ऑन दैट. एंड देन ब्रेन मैपिंग, देयर इज समथिंग कॉल्ड ब्रेन मैपिंग विच इज वेरी मच डन दीज डेज, which will establish every parts of the body with different regions of the brain, but it has not established the mind in the brain. Now about the absence of intelligence entity. Now you know the brain is often compared with a microprocessor or a microcomputer, and what a microprocessor does, for a set of inputs it will give a output. The microprocessor is in a way programmed. It is programmed to give certain outputs for certain pattern of inputs. Now, is the brain also programmed to do the same thing? Just think over. Are our brains programmed to do some things for some kind of inputs? Is it like that? Just think over. Because as I see here, just like there are some set of inputs to the microprocessor, there are some set of inputs to this body. Through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose, through the tongue, through this skin. I don't know what all will touch me the whole day. I don't know what all I will see the whole day. I will be seeing, automatically I may see something. Was my brain programmed to see those things? Because that event is independent of what is happening in the brain. Whatever happened there, that I saw. But was the brain programmed to see those things? And then give the, do some activities in a particular way. For example, I will be sitting here. For no reason, even when I am not thirsty, I will drink water. Is my brain programmed to drink water when I am thirsty? If it is yes, why I am drinking water when I am not thirsty? If I am programmed to eat food when I am hungry, why do I eat food when I am not hungry as well? Many times I will not be hungry. I will be sitting. Just out of boredom, I will get up, go, eat something and come back. So are all these things programmed in the brain? Just think over. So there is nothing like this kind of a thing. There cannot be an evidence. There is no evidence. So this, whatever is I call as programming, that is called as intelligence entity. That integrates different functions and organized response. There is no possibility of such intelligence entity because it is not possible to know all stimuli to sense organs and manage responses of the future. See, like the brain has got lot of organs, a lot of regions like cortex, cerebellum, medulla, amygdala, etc., etc. Is there any entity in the brain, either spread all over the brain or at one place, which is programmed to do some things for a set of inputs? Actually, the answer is no. You can think over. Now I will come to one very interesting experiment. This is very close to my heart. I started learning meditation when I was young, and then I was told, as we were told before in the earlier sessions, that soul is residing here. I was always curious to know whether the soul has been sensed by neurosurgeons. Something has to be done in the laboratory to know something. Like that in the laboratory of this hospital or wherever the surgery takes place of the patient, entity called soul being experienced by doctors? That was my curiosity ever since I was young. And then I chanced upon a book called The Mystery of the Mind by Wilder Penfield, A Critical Study of Consciousness and the Human Brain. A very interesting book, you can read it. So he is a scientist who started his, he was born in the 1890s, and then from 1930s till 1970s he conducted 700 brain surgeries, especially on the epileptic patients. And during that time, you know that when a person is being operated for the brain surgery, they will give a local anesthesia and cut open the scalp. The patient is very much alive and then very much conscious. He will be lying on the operation theater, and then the eyes are blindfolded, and during that time the patient will be operated upon And during that time, the doctors will be even talking to the patient. So what this fellow does, Wilder Penfield, is he gives a current somewhere due to which hand moves like this, twitches like this. And the doctor asks the patient, are you moving your hand? Tum haath hai phaila rahe kya? The patient says, I didn't do it, you did it. See the words of the patient. There is a slide. The patient says, I didn't do it, you did it. Then later, the doctor gives current somewhere due to which the voice comes out of the mouth of the patient. The doctor asks the patient, are you talking? Are you speaking? The patient says, I didn't make that sound. Mark the words. You pulled it out of me. Who is telling this? Is the brain who is telling this? Or somebody else other than the brain who is telling this? Very interesting point. Again, I'm telling, when the hand twitches, he says, I didn't do it. You did it. And when the sound comes due to some current stimulation in the brain, he says, I didn't make that sound. You pulled it out of me. So, very interesting, observations. Then the question comes, who is talking here? Whether the brain, see, your brain is talking, your brain is thinking too much. These are the common words we will use. But here, the person is talking something. And we have to ask ourselves, is the brain talking or somebody else was talking through the brain? So then the doctor conducts a lot of experiments and then makes a very interesting experience, observations throughout his book. He writes like this, there is no valid evidence that electrical stimulation can activate the mind. None of the actions that we attribute to the mind has been initiated by electrode stimulation. See the way the doctor writes. And then he also writes, there is no place in the cerebral cortex where electrical stimulation will cause a patient to believe or to decide. Very critical words. See, if brain is everything, brain is the living being, okay? So, if it would have been possible, it would have been possible to give some electric currents and then make the patient think differently or decide differently. Newton thought, when the apple fell, he says, why this fell? And that kind of question arose. It would have been possible, if that were the case, it would have been possible to give a current and then stimulate those thoughts, such kind of thoughts. But there is no place in the cerebral cortex where electrical stimulation will cause a patient to believe or to decide. The doctor goes on writing many, many things in the book. He says, he asks the questions, how a child is born, and then when the child is born, there is nothing like a brain. How the brain develops, how the curiosity develops in the child to watch the parents, learn language, how this peace, happiness, contentment, etc. comes in the brain. All these things he thinks in this book and then writes through. And then in the end, he comes to one conclusion that there is something which is brain which is separate, and then there is something which is mind which is separate. Brain is separate from the mind, and then mind makes use of the brain. Brain is an executive of mind. That's the conclusion he comes to in the end. And then he writes, just watch the slides there. He writes, what a thrill it is then to discover that the scientist too can legitimately believe in the existence of the spirit. These are the words. See, forget you and me, we are all ordinary mortals. This is a person who is a father of neurosurgery, who gave some unbelievable contributions to this world in the field of neurosurgery. And he, after having believed throughout his lifetime that brain is everything, he was a very staunch materialist to start with. He never believed in soul or the operation of the souls through the body, etc. But in the end, he comes to the conclusion that there is a separate soul which is operating through the body and then through the brain, and then brain is the executive of this spirit or the mind. He, he mixes everything. When he says soul, he says soul, spirit, mind. He considers it as one. And then he says, what a thrill it is then to discover that the scientist too can legitimately believe in the existence of the spirit. So you can just think over what all thoughts you would have thought. The same thoughts would have come in the minds of the greatest scientists and doctors also. They too would have undergone a lot of, predicaments in their life as to who the actual living being is. Whether it is this body, a brain, or something other than the brain who is driving through the brain and then therefore operating the body. There are some unexplained phenomena in this world. One is the random number generator, Emoto crystal experiments, double blind experiments on plants. I don't want to go through in detail because time is short. And there is what is called as out of body experience and near death experiences. People exhibiting lot of IQ but are having small or no brain, past life memories. Then, you know, there are conditions where a person whose thinking and attitude results in the healing of diseases, or on the contrary, results in a medical condition. Negative thinking results in the medical condition. Why should this happen? That's the first question. Why should this happen? Why the thinking should heal the disease if there is no relation between, if everything is a material, if everything is atoms and molecules? Now, why should it happen? And then what is the consciousness and the source? And then what is the thought and then how does it arise? These are all, and then how the amnesthesia works, speech, sleep, pain and pleasure. And then where is the memory stored in the brain? Some one scientist explored all through the brain and told, it is that memory is all over the brain, but nowhere in the brain. So there are predicaments everywhere. Now a very interesting thing, it's a relation between what is called as quantum and consciousness. Quantum means all the some basic particles that make up this universe. There are some 33 particles, they say, electrons, atoms, protons, neutrons, molecules, atoms, and then so on. There are some basic building blocks. They are called quantum or quanta. And then is there any relationship between quantum and our consciousness, our own consciousness? Long back, Newton told that light is a particle. And then everyone agreed with that. But when in 1900, there was a scientist called Thomas Young, he conducted an experiment, what is famously known as double slit experiment, and then concluded that light is a wave and not a particle. If light was a particle, it should have given a pattern like this, what is there here, you can see in the screen. But what happened was, it gave a wave-like pattern, and then it was observed that light was made of waves. But come 1900, as the technology developed, people tried to observe light passing through the slit with the help of detectors. How the light will behave through this one. When the moment they tried to find out this light, the behavior of light through the slit, what they saw was again a particle pattern of light. What Newton had told, again they found out. And then there was a predicament as to, you know, what the light is. So then there was on the one side, it was told that light has got a dual nature. It behaves both as a wave and a particle. But on the other side, the mere act of watching with the detectors, monitoring the light itself gave again a particle pattern. So, you know, it was very clearly concluded that light or all these particles, they are influenced by the monitoring. The very act of monitoring, you try to see it and then it changes its behavior. So whether it is atoms, electrons, molecules, whatever it is, there are different variations of experiments. They all say that, you know, like light is influenced, the particles are influenced by our thinking. In the last decade, there was an experiment done by one Dr. Dean Radin in California, where a double slit setup was put in a chamber, and people, he identified several meditators all over the world. Their job is they have to log in. And then for the first 5 minutes, they have to think that. So there is a, you can see the in the screen, the light is going through a slit. These people have to log in. They have to think in their minds that light is, I'm not interested in the experiment. They have to develop a thought that they are not interested in the experiment. And for the next 5 minutes, they have to think that the light is passing through the slide, the double slit. The light is passing through the slit. What happened was, the observations were very startling. For the first 5 minutes, the light, like, you know, wave pattern was observed. And for the next 5 minutes, when they were thinking that they are interested in the experiment, particle pattern was observed. So this was a very startling experiment given by this experiment. And it was very clearly concluded that when you try to observe a particle, it will change its behavior. That's what is happening at the quantum level. At the atoms, molecules, etc. You try to observe and then it will change its behavior. Now we can see some kind of relation between the body and the soul. The soul thinks, soul will be having his own consciousness, accordingly the atoms and molecules in the body will be moving or changing its pattern. So the quantum mystery, all quanta, electrons, protons, atoms, molecules, ions behave as waves. When you observe, they collapse into behave as particles. Why the observation should matter? Okay, so we can infer that basic matter will be in some random state, oscillating unpredictably in space when not observed. Consciousness is responsible for activities, behavior, movements of all atoms, electrons, ions and molecules. Observation or attention brings predictability in the basic particles. And consciousness influences matter irrespective of distance. So what, now we can comprehend consciousness. Materialistic perspective, the brain cannot create our experiences. We have to contemplate and embrace the possibility of an immaterial. Immaterial means metaphysical entity with consciousness that operates the brain as well. Exploring the immaterial and spiritual entity is as scientific and logical as any other form of inquiry. So we can't say that, you know, only if we explore the things that are material in nature alone is scientific, others are non-scientific. No, it is not like that. What is important is truth. And then here we have got a valid evidence where something which is non-material is causing behavior of the materials to change. So we have to embrace the acceptance of a non-material entity. And then metaphysical cannot be understood from the physical viewpoint. This is very important. Whenever there is a discussion about soul or God, suddenly there will be a question. If God is there, prove it. If God is there, show. If soul is there, show. I can't just show it as just like a paper or a pen. Thoughts, we are all creating thoughts. Can we see thoughts? We are all creating thoughts. We know that thought is our own. It is our own creation. Can we see thoughts? Can somebody, like, you know, create thoughts on the screen? No, it is not possible. We have to accept the possibility that there is what is called as immaterial entities in this world. And then one of them is the soul. And then I, the soul, am creating these thoughts. So consciousness can be understood only through consciousness, which is the direct personal experience. So we have a practical interaction here. The metaphysical or a spiritual soul is there, who is interacting with the physical matter. The physical matter becomes physiological, and that is the body. This is the interrelation between the three. So now the question is, who is the observer? The observer was resulting in the behavior, change of the behavior of the particles. The observer is none other than the soul. Soul is the one who is sitting in the brain, a little behind this center of the eyebrows. We call as Brikati. These are the eyebrows. Brikati. Iske beech mein yahan atma rehti, rehne ka sthan hai. And then here we can't take any instrument and then prove that soul is here. So with all this narrative built in, we can experiment, we can think of our own, and then we can contemplate and then arrive at the conclusion that yes, I, the soul, very much reside somewhere here. And then I can prove for myself. For this one thing, I don't need any other external proof. I can prove myself. So spend some time in contemplation, focus the thoughts here, and then we will really feel that I, the soul, am residing, indeed residing here. So this is me, the soul. So the soul, point of light. This is me. This is I, the soul. And I create my thoughts here. I see, hear, breathe, talk and do all activities from here, from this place. So this is the one which you have already learnt, but it's a different picture. The soul is the one who will create thoughts. Then I, the soul, again make decisions, which is called intellect. And then whatever I decide, I will perform the karma through the body. And then whatever karma I perform will create impressions within me, the soul. And this is all happening in this tiny point of light. Soul is a very tiny point of light residing here. Now we will arrive at the definition of consciousness. So you would have gone through so many articles, research papers, explored your own self to find out what the definition of consciousness is. Now we can arrive at the definition of the consciousness based on what we discussed so far. Consciousness is the ability of the soul to think, decide and form habits. Consciousness is the ability of the soul to think, decide and form habits. It includes our feelings, experiences, emotions, outlook, mindset and so on. So in short, we can say consciousness is the sum total of all that is happening in the soul. Whatever is happening in me, the soul. I am a soul, in me the soul. There are many things happening. I am thinking, deciding, etc. The sum total of all that is happening in me, the soul, is consciousness. This is the definition of consciousness. So now it's up to you to take for the definition of consciousness. So there are various definitions of consciousness in different literatures. This is one of the definition that is added. You can experience for yourself what the definition of consciousness is. So in the soul, everything is going on. So, you know, whatever we call, you know, like the traits, perception, comprehension, leadership, intuition, concentration, sentience, planning, ethics, morality, religion, compassion, kindness, remembering, forgetting, emotions, feelings, they are all part of this soul. They are not part of the brain. Soul is performing through the brain, but these are all entities of the aspects of the soul and not the brain. Everything is happening in the soul. Even what we call it as emotional quotient or intelligence quotient, they are all aspects of soul but not the brain. So what are the correct sentences? When we use some correct sentences, automatically we will understand what I am, what I really am. I am a soul is a correct sentence, not my soul. It is not my soul, I myself am a soul. When we address the soul, we should not be saying it is the soul, it chij isani, like it is not a non-living thing, soul is the living thing. So we will address he or him. And soul is not the consciousness. In soul, there is consciousness. Consciousness is aspect of the soul. And then, I have energy. I don't say soul is the energy. Soul has the energy. And then whenever I say I, it is I the soul. Whenever I say you, it means you the soul. Okay? And we have to understand the soul as the soul. Understand thought as a thought. Understand mind as a mind. We need not have to give a different description to explain soul. And see, just when we say body, it is understood that this is body. We don't describe body to give a sense of it. We know what the body is. In the same way, just as the body is a body, face is a face, hand is a hand, leg is a leg. In the same way, soul is a soul. We have to keep on discussing in that way. Now, all are in the same world. Even the physical realm is in the same world, and then the spiritual realm is in the same world. The physical bodies, particles, physical energies like heat, current, magnetism, etc., they are all part of the physical realm, but in the same world. But when we talk in terms of spiritual energies, that is in terms of thought, thinking, you know, decision making, or bliss, knowledge, love, peace, etc., these are all the powers in the spiritual realm. These are also in the same world, but are the aspects of the soul. One is the aspect of the physical things, another is the aspect of the soul. So now, you know, like in the following slides, there will be, you know, like how the soul is interacting with the brain. A small effort is made here. Brain may be a very highly complicated, but it is a passive organ. But a soul, as far as the soul is concerned, the fundamental characteristic of a soul is to express himself. So the body and the soul interacts through the brain. The body and the soul interfaces through the brain. The brain is to do with the transfer of expressions from soul to body. I have got lot of happiness in me. It converts into smile on the face. I have lot of pain in me the soul, that may express as some, you know, like pain on the face. And the brain is also has got to do with the translation of the inputs. Whatever I see, hear, sense, those things will get translated in a way soul can understand. So transfer of, and then this is the way soul interfaces with the brain. When you go through lot of tech literature, it is being told that soul interfaces with the brain in the through the pineal gland. Some many things will be there in the thing. But so what if I am sitting in the near the pineal gland? So what if the soul is sitting in the, near the pituitary gland? So what if soul is seated somewhere here? It doesn't matter. The more important thing is how the soul functions. Just as the driver, when he is driving, as he drives the car by rotating the steering wheel, pressing the brake, clutch, etc., the car automatically moves. The same way, when the soul, I the soul, I am creating thoughts, making decisions, etc., etc., the body will be automatically animated. And how the interface between soul and brain happens? It is by, the best analogy can be magnet and a magnetic field. Magnet is there, it is surrounded by the magnetic field. And in the schools, we all know how the powder of the magnets, magnetic powders, it will align themselves around the magnet. In the same way, I the soul am here, and then around me are all these particles, atoms, molecules, cells, tissues, etc. They are all aligned in around me, the soul. And that's how the functioning happens in the brain. Just the like a magnet and a magnetic field, so is the like interaction between soul and the particles around it, around him. The soul interacts with the brain. I will skip all these things. Actually, there is a book which which can be downloaded. You can go through and then you will find all this matter. You need not have to take photos also. And now we will come to what is called as sleep. What is sleeping? So a soul has got some unique characteristics. One of the gifted trait of a soul is to ability to become bodiless even as he is in the body. I am in the body and yet I will become bodiless. So I can withdraw from the feelings of the body and get detached. And soul has got a wonderful capacity to remember and forget. These are the characteristics of the soul. So it is this which is demonstrated in sleep, which is expressed in the sleep. Sleep is nothing but a state during which soul withdraws from the feelings of the body, gets detached and becomes bodiless. Usually he will be in a state of rest. What is anesthesia? Anesthesia is induced sleep. By some external means, doctors induce the withdrawal of the soul from the body. Withdrawal means it's not a physical withdrawal. Soul will be there, but the attachment to the body will not be there. So, we will, in the screen, you can see, from the bottom, human body is an amazing machine with wonderful organs and unparalleled complexity. Of them all, brain is perhaps the most mysterious. Its uniqueness is favorable for the soul to interface. Now, think of the enormous capabilities of the soul. The body is made in such a way that soul can operate at will. This is about soul and body thing. So as we are walking, you see, the whole day we will be walking, we will be moving our hands and legs, we will be moving our eyeballs, batting our eyelids. Who is doing all these things? Kaun kar raha hai? Haath paav chalana, aankhon ko band karna, open karna, ye eyeballs ko ghumana, ye sab kaun kar raha hai? Ye sab atma kar rahi. Soul is doing this one. We will have a small 2 minutes experiment here. Just sit straight and then look forward. Open your eyes and look forward. And it is your intention now to look at the side. You want to look at the door because there is something. But you don't look at that there right now. You look straight. Just make thoughts in yourself that I have to look there. I have to look there. I have to look there for 2 minutes. For some purpose, I want to see either left or right. मुझे बाएं या दाएं देखना है. मैं अंदर संकल्प करता हूँ कि मुझे वहाँ देखना है, देखना है, देखना है। आप देखना, थोड़े टाइम के बाद आपका आंख वहां जाएगा या तो आपका नेक वहां जाएगा। Either your eyes or your neck will go there, will go in the direction of your thought. This is a very simple proof that the body along with the brain is at the orders of the soul. The soul is there, you think of your majesty, they say, you know, like think of your, like as your majesty thinks, they say. The same way this body, along with all these sense organs, these atoms, molecules, cells, tissues in the body, they are at the use by the soul. I think that's how things happen. You can experiment in your life daily. As you are sitting here, as you go towards your go to your places, somewhere when you are alone, preferably, you can experiment all these things. And then you can say, you can see for yourself how the bodily organs obey the thoughts of the soul, of myself the soul. You just leave your hand free and just think here that I should move this. It starts moving. This is not any imagination. You leave your hands free. हाथ को ऐसे छोड़े और जस्ट थिंक हियर दैट आई शुड मूव माय हैंड एंड देन द हैंड स्टार्ट्स शेकिंग टू स्टार्ट्स विथ एंड देन यू कैन बिल्ड ओवर दैट. दिस इज अ प्रैक्टिकल वे ऑफ फाइंडिंग आउट हाउ द सोल इंटरफेसेस विद द बॉडी. अ सिनोनिम फॉर लाइफ इज फॉर सोल इज कॉल्ड अ लाइफ. यू कैन वॉच द स्क्रीन्स. A synonym for soul is life. Life means prana. In Hindi we call as prana. Soul, another word is pran. Atma, soul, atma, prana, life. So, you know, it's a synonym for soul is life. Soul keeps the cells functioning. Soul's consciousness influences the cells' function. Cells carry atoms and molecules to different places in the body. So you would have heard that by thinking somebody's diseases got healed. How it happened? They are all by reshuffling of atoms and molecules in the body. Atoms and molecules, they make up all these tumors. And when the soul leaves, everything disintegrates. The soul was the one who was holding this body all the time. The moment the soul goes, the body disintegrates. So we will not see anything there after some time. So, what is the proof of consciousness? If somebody asks for the proof of consciousness, the fact that I am sitting here, I am thinking, I am deciding, I am acting, I am doing my work, that itself is the proof of consciousness. We don't need any other proof here. We don't need a machine which will be brought in front of us and then say, hey, look, you know, you are a conscious being. That need not be taught actually. So, this is the whole world. So, where like atoms and molecules, they make up the bodies of all the living beings or materials or anything that we see physical. The souls are the ones who will be interacting with either animals or birds or the human beings. So the one that is observed, like, you know, we can't do the way we want all the time. There is always a limitation, and then we are all bound by the law of karma. Law of karma is holding the physical on the one side and the spiritual on the other side. The verdict is, my past consciousness decided the past and the present. My present consciousness will decide present and future. Harboring, developing and sustaining right consciousness is fundamental to what we get and experience. So soul consciousness is the highest form of experience. Here is the picture of soul who is hearing through the ears. Depiction, graphical depiction. Soul is the one who is speaking through the mouth, through the brain. Soul is the one who is seeing through the eyes, through the brain again. But the original, the one who is doing it is soul. And then the soul is the one who is seeing through the eyes. Behind the soul, behind the eyes, soul is seated and then seeing through the eyes. And then soul to soul interaction is happening. When we are all interacting Actually, it's not face-to-face interaction. More subtly is soul-to-soul interaction is happening. That's what is depicted in this picture. So, all are connected. All are connected. And then they are all connected to God as well. God is having supreme consciousness. And this is the one. Like soul, seated here, connected to God. This is what is meditation. So there are many realizations. I will rather avoid all these things right now. With a clear understanding of soul and brain, one can transform their consciousness that benefits them. This is an experiment to be carried out in the laboratory of life. One best way of finding out truth is by experimentation. So if truth is there, then nothing like it. Complete flexibility is the greatest characteristics of the soul and its consciousness. So I will skip all these things. There is a book, Understanding Consciousness, for download. You can note it down. You can download this book, and then all the things that I've presented here are there in that. Everything is available, and then everything can be consumed actually. And then there is an email ID. If you are interested in having some conversations on consciousness, etc., almost most welcome. Okay, with this, I will conclude my presentation. Om Shanti. Questions we will take up offline, because there is one more session which is starting in another 10 minutes. Offline, I am available. Yeah, okay. Yeah, fine. Yeah, somebody has a question? Yeah, please, one question. Yeah.
It was an amazing discourse that just now happened. There were a lot of enlightenment moments that we experienced. And one thing that is bothering me, and I want an answer for it, is I've observed myself going to different places in my sleep. Like, I have visited my mother's house in my sleep, and I thought there's an airport being constructed, but actually it was a metro station was being constructed. That I came to know after I went there after, say, 2-3 years. So my soul had already visited. So is it possible during the sleep we travel like this?
No, we won't travel. Soul, either soul, I'm very much here only. I will only get detached from the body, but I'm here only. But the impressions in the soul and then my past memories will make me that I am there, but I am actually sitting here only.
Because physically I was not aware that there is some construction going on. And to me, when I went over there in the sleep, I saw that there is a construction for an airport going on. Yeah. But there was a construction for the metro station done. So that was again on the height. My soul might have got confused. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, the soul has got unlimited powers actually. When in the body, the soul has got lot of limitation. But as such, soul has got wonderful powers to even see something which is not visible by eyes, not limited by distance. Those things will come up in sleep during dreams.
So that's something like possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hello. Sir, as you have discussed the double slit experiment, and in that experiment you have discussed that the particle have dual nature. When we are observing, it behaves like a particle. When we are not observing, it behaves like a wave. As you have discussed, that soul is a point of energy. Or is it a particle form or a wave form?
No, soul is neither a wave nor a point. Soul is a soul. We have to understand soul as a soul, which is not a physical element. Soul is not a physical element. Soul is metaphysical. So soul is an entity. We have to understand soul as soul. Soul has metaphysical energy. The double slit experiment says that there is a relationship between the soul's consciousness and the matter. And then that amply demonstrates that.
Is it possible massless and momentumless energy?
Sorry?
Massless and momentumless energy?
That is all in the physical realm. They are all in the physical realm. Yeah, it may be possible, but we can't attribute it to the soul.
Okay.
Because soul is different.
Play any role in the soul?
Sorry?
Genetics.
genetics may or may not. See, the genetics and all are to do with the body. But the soul is independent of any of these characteristics of the body. There is an influence of body on the soul and then soul on the body. But genetics also will play a role. But what this tells is, through our thoughts and then consciousness, we can minimize or we can nullify the effects of genetics.
So what about a good soul and a bad soul, like a criminal and then a saint?
Yeah, they were all covered in the previous things on the soul, so it remains the same.
Thank you.
This is the last question.
You talked about soul expressing the emotions through the body, for example, crying, laughing, smiling, and pain. So, which means that the feelings are going to the soul and soul is expressing it. But when we actually get wounded, the wound is actually on the body, which is physical. So, how does that translate?
It translates as a pain to the soul. Soul is the one who will express the pain, who will experience the pain. So, the wound on the body will be experienced by the soul as a pain. So, the genetics is also in the same way. The changes to the body may be experienced by the soul, but soul has we have the capacity to think independently and be independent, and then cannot come under the effects of the body. Thank you. I think we will discuss it offline.